John chapter 6 is a spectacularly difficult text to get your head around, and it's a long one. And where I'm going to start is following two miraculous events, the feeding of the 5,000 and then Jesus walking on water, which brings us to the conversation of the bread of life, in which a crowd has gone after Jesus after they've witnessed the feeding of the 5,000, and they have a conversation with him. When the crowd found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, but not because you saw signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval." Well, then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "Well, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Well, sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? Well, stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. And very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord. You've ever been trapped in a conversation you can't get out of? Where the more you make points that you think are salient, points that you think are easy to understand, points that you think should resolve the question at hand, you get rebuttals back. But what about this? And what about this? And then the kicker, but Dad, you said, I know what I said. This is becoming, I'm told that today during the Super Bowl will be a reprisal of Groundhog Day and Bill Murray. This is like my life right now with children, is the Groundhog Day. It just happens daily, and you think you're making a really good point to your child, for which they will be grateful for the wisdom you're imparting to them, only to have them really not get it. And you have the same conversation with them the next day. I want to say, didn't I say yesterday and the day before and the day before? There's a lot that we could unpack in this text, John, but it really is a very simple text in terms of the point that Jesus is trying to make. And the point he's trying to make, if you notice, he tries to make numerous times along the way. He is repetitive to different questions that are raised to him. And he's trying to address a spiritual reality, a spiritual problem, when they are focused on a physical problem as well. If you were to get behind the hearts of the crowd that had followed him, they were there at the feeding of the 5,000. They were hungry, and then they were given food to eat. And they tracked him down to see if he would pull this off again. What they were interested in is almost a repeat performance of the Exodus. In the Exodus, they were given manna from heaven every day. Once in a while, when they got bored with that, they were given quail. Water was brought out from a rock. And they looked back at those miraculous things of how the people, they were dependent upon God for that in very good ways. It taught them to really look to God for their needs. What these crowd right now wants a repeat performance. They kind of want this to unfold again. We want food like this every day. We want our physical needs met. And the entire conversation that Jesus has with them is telling them that you are focused on the wrong thing. And time again, they miss the point that's being made. We've said this twice before with the water that will never leave you thirsty to the Samaritan woman at the well. We saw this with the healing of the man by the pool. That these physical things that unfold, like water and miraculous healing of a body, are but foretastes of what Jesus is really after, which is the heart within. Jesus isn't interested in having a crowd follow him around where he can perform little miracles to satisfy their daily needs. He could pull off a feeding of the 5,000 every day. There is a beautiful humanity to this in that he does that when they are hungry, but he is not about signs and wonders as if a magician was what he was called to be. He is meant to be pointing to something deeper and far more profound than this. For them to begin to see what it means to be bread of life. To look to him as the very thing that satisfies time and time again. They asked him for more food. He says, do the works of the Lord. They tell him, they remind him that the ancestors had manna in the desert. Jesus says, I am the bread of God. They ask him, well, we want this bread every day. They still don't get it. He says, no, I am the bread of life. You come to me, you'll never go hungry. Then they began to argue because he uses the word my father from heaven. And they said, but you're Joseph's boy. Jesus says, stop grumbling. I am the bread of life, yes. And by the way, your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. That's a temporary fix. What I'm about is an eternal one. And then they get caught up on, how do we eat his flesh? This is a long conversation where they not even once begin to dive into the deeper things that Jesus is saying. They are focused on physical needs, physical reality. Interestingly, this text is used by early persecutors of the Christian faith that describe the Christian faith as being cannibalistic. This is a text in which these Christians eat people's flesh and drink their blood. They still don't get it. Though we might say, even today, we often still don't get it. If we're all honest, it's at times the kind of God that we are attracted to is the one that provides for our daily needs when we want him to. We're interested in God providing those physical needs that we might have. We're interested in God providing those social needs that we might have. We're interested in God providing for us a satisfactory response to our felt needs. And Jesus is interested in much more than that. He's interested in being the very thing that is satisfying for us deep within our souls, even when the physical hungers that we have are not being met. Even when life is not going as we would like. Even when we are frustrated with the circumstances of the journey that we're facing. Even when we know very much that just a minimal amount of miraculous action on God's part could do for us something that, in comparison to the feeding of the 5,000 or the parting of the Red Sea or the raising of Lazarus from the grave, I mean, just a huge chasm, but just a little bit of a miracle would do for me what I really need. In other words, what the Jewish crowd is really wanting is a safe God and a safe religion in where their felt needs are met and they have an identity that can distinguish them from others. When Jesus is doing something far more radical, because in no way, shape, or form is he presenting to the world a safe God with a safe religion whose interest is merely meeting felt needs. He is interested in changing people's lives. He is interested in calling them on a journey that will cause them to abandon all of the things they once held dear as their security blanket. It's like asking your child to give up their blankie at some point because it's a mess. It's got to be thrown away. Jesus does something far deeper here. He wants them to see in who he is as the very thing that satisfies their lives for the road ahead, the bread of life that they need to feed on and trust that he will provide even in the midst of uncertain circumstances. The crowd wants safe religion, they want bread. Jesus doesn't provide that. And we'll see next week the cost of this. But the meal is enough. Dick helpfully pointed out to me, Dick Nelson, the translation of Eugene Peterson in The Message, where I've read to you, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And where I also read, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in the Son will have eternal life. Coming and looking in this text is translated by Eugene as aligning. That's a really helpful phrase in that it's not just simply going up to a person, right? It's coming to Christ in such a way that our will and our intentions and our desires and our purpose are entirely changed from our own to His. An alignment. You know what it's like to have, again, like your car not be in alignment and you're pulling hard on the steering wheel. You know what it's like for your spine not to be in alignment. And it's painful to walk around in that regard. You know what it's like for a person in your business to not be in alignment with the values and the purpose for which it is made. And we know what it's like for our own hearts and our own lives and the raw evidence of that to not be in alignment with the will of God and His gospel. Notice, though, that Jesus says that the heart of the problem isn't all the works that unfold from it, but where your heart is. They want to say, tell us what we should do, tell us what the works of God are, so that we can then come in alignment with it. And Jesus says, believe in me. You believe truly in the Son, this alignment unfolds. And when you're aligned with me, you don't hunger and you don't thirst anymore. When you're aligned with me, you enter into real life and eternal life. Friends, we're going to gather around the table here shortly. And we do so with very real needs on our hearts and our minds. And I know our hearts and our minds are really with Joel and April and the family right now. But we don't have a safe religion and a safe God. We have one who, in order to help us become aligned with Him, He came and died for us because we couldn't do it. For us to be aligned with His purposes, He Himself took our place. To be aligned with the Father for eternal life means that His sacrifice needed to pay the debt that we owed. And this is a foretaste of what will come. That we know now on this side of the cross what Jesus was angling about. And it was not felt needs. And it was not about the bread and the cup. It was not about cannibalism. It was about us looking at these very real physical things, much in the same way the disciples saw a physical Jesus right in front of them and said, He is more than just a physical reality. He is God in human flesh. And we begin to see Him as our daily bread, as the bread of life. We begin to engage in this process of aligning things that we know are not in alignment. We know it. And He invites us to enter into that journey. So it's appropriate at the table to begin to think about this, is to kind of be honest about the ways in which we just want a God to meet felt needs, and He wants to be known as someone who's the bread of life for you. And we do so with the honest understanding that we are not in alignment with the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He's done, and many ways we have denied Him with our lives, just like Peter. And yet, we remember that He died for us in such a way that we do not need to look back, but look forward. As Paul would write, forgetting what lies behind, I press on towards what is ahead to win the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, our Lord. begin to put aside those things that can never satisfy and take the very thing that can. In other words, you can look at this as a foretaste of the feast to come. This is the pregame to the real Super Bowl, friends. Where the bread of life will be our bread forever and ever. He wants to be known. May we come to him in faith. Let's pray.